Hi, thank you for joining me for the Interactive Exhibit Design Podcast. My name is Rebecca Rahe. I'm your host. This is episode 2, and joining me here today, I have Megan Arnault.
So, Megan, can you tell me maybe a little bit about more about yourself, you know, what you've done up to this point, kind of what brought you here?
Sure. I think I may be unusual in the University of Western Ontario History Department in the fact that I am a medievalist. Not that there are not medievalist professors here, but I've not encountered an awful lot of medievalist grad students. I did my undergraduate at Queen's University in actually medieval studies, which is a special field concentration, which it is essentially a history degree, but it could also have been an English degree or a philosophy degree. After that, I did a year in England at the University of Nottingham, where I did my master's in Norse and Viking studies. Norse and Viking because it covered the most things that I was interested in, and so it allowed me a lot of veins of exploration that I was going to be particularly keen on following up. After that, I did take a year off. In some respects, I am hoping at some point to do a PhD, but I thought the master's in public history would be incredibly useful, not only in learning how to use the tools that would be more relevant than sometimes the academic ones, and maybe to even give me an edge if I am to go to do a PhD, but also in the fact that if I actually do get a PhD, that usually does not necessarily necessitate a job. So it'll make me come out on the other side of that with some skills that I can market in a history field.
So basically get you in there, whether or not it's with the doctor in front of your name or...
Exactly.
Absolutely. Why Western? I mean, there's one other public history program currently existing in Canada. Any particular reason or just...
Well, Western has always particularly interested me in some respects because my mom went to Western. So, and when I was originally picking schools, while Queen's was my first choice, Western was always my second choice. And so I was very much interested in coming here as an institution. Also, the public history program, it looked extremely interesting. Not only that, I wanted to be at Western because there is a professor in the English department who I would be interested in doing a PhD with. It's a lot easier to court a professor.
If you're actually there.
Exactly, if you're in the same institution. So there was definitely that I wanted to be. So I applied here to the public history and the library sciences. But, of course, when I received the acceptance for both, I said to myself, what is it that I actually want to do? And it wasn't so much a library as it was a museum. So it was, that is basically why I chose Western and public history.
Fair enough.
Understandable.
As you can tell that this is the first interview. What about this class, this interactive exhibit design class? Like, I know why I'm here. I'm here because it really struck me as, like, a place where I could get some serious hands-on skills, and that was the main reason for being here. Is it similar for you?
Absolutely. I have absolutely no hands-on skills. None. I am entirely academic background, and even in high school and going back, I was always drawn towards the more text-based classes, like the English classes. I took all the history classes. I did ancient Greek in high school. Again, not really practical, because my high school offered some amazing classes in tech shops and working with computers and photography and woodworking, and not interested in any of those. So it turns out that unless one actually follows through, I mean, I have a lot of thinking skills and researching skills, but I don't have any real skills. So interactive exhibit design was a continuation of the digital history, which I thought, above anything else, would be the most useful class I could possibly take. Also, if I do end up in a public history field, I want to be able to do some of the things that would be useful to, say, a museum setting where you would actually have to set up an exhibit or you would actually have to connect them to the, well, not connect them to the internet, but set them up with a website in a respect that they could be found and that people would be interested in their website. And not only that, it can be a meaningful contribution to the actual history content on the web. So I thought that would be really useful. And interactive exhibit design, I'm floundering a little bit, but the more I flounder, the more I learn. And so it's been definitely a change of pace. But it is incredibly amazing to actually build something that works, to actually have a blinking light, as rudimentary as that may be.
I think we're all floundering just a bit, you know? The reality of the situation is most of us didn't come in with much. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. What about, and I know you're mostly focusing on one project, right?
Mostly, yes.
What sort of, like, skills have you been learning in this class that you're applying to it?
Well, I am hoping to use the large sticker cutter that is part of this room to make a more professional-looking kind of map of the North Atlantic so that I can then attach switches underneath. And what I'm going to do, hopefully, is build a little device with a magnet in it. Hopefully, maybe it'll look like a Viking ship, but again, I'm not particularly hands-on. So then when I drag the magnet over top of the switches that are underneath the map that I'm creating, then that will, using both the Arduino and processing, I'm hoping, that will, on the computer, result in several different images coming up. So hopefully it's a basic image of an image of the North Atlantic, and when you drag the magnet over the switch closes a circuit, and then the circuit will send information through the Arduino to the processing program to say, change that image to the one that says is the same image, but has a little label that says something like Lancy Meadows or something like Brattahill in Greenland or something like that. So that's the ideal. I think I can get as far as building the map and playing with the Arduino and the processing to actually make the images come up on the screen is going to require, I think, several rereadings of the processing book that I took home.
That's probably going to be one of my largest issues with one of my projects, too, is actually, you know, I certainly can get it all set up. I can probably even get it to do something. Whether or not I can get it to do what I want is another question.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess I probably should have started by asking you, like, what is the ultimate goal? What are you trying to do? Like, we've heard how it will work, but what's the what will it look like? If it got finished, what would it look like?
Well, when I started it, I kept coming back to a map idea and thinking to myself, no, that's way too 2D. We have to expand our mind. And then I just couldn't seem to get my mind out of it. And then, of course, I'm in another seminar called Mapping Medievalism at the Canadian Frontier. So I thought if I was designing a project for that, I would have to use a map. So in that respect, I thought it would be useful. So what I am hoping to do is to give a little interactive exhibit, I guess, where to show certain key points along the North Atlantic which offer up some information about the Vinland sagas. So those being the sagas about the voyages from Iceland to Greenland to Finland, which is supposedly North America.
Cool. It sounds like it'll be really cool if you can...
If I can get it to work.
Therein's the true challenge for all of us, right?
Yes.
It's just like we're not even totally sure how this will go.
Yes.
So, apparently there's a class that's gotten out either next door or upstairs at this point. But
yes,
hopefully
like to move the
it won't be too bad on the recording. What about the future? I mean, we're all doing internships. It's part of the public history program. What have you got lined up? Have you got anything lined up? I know I don't really yet.
I have been talking with the Simcoe County Museum. While they did say that that would be unpaid, which is entirely probable because a lot of people need help with their museums and they're entirely willing to take you on as an intern, but they only have a certain budget for employees.
They can't exactly afford to hire you.
Exactly. And also it's going for credit. It's going for, so that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there just went around some emails about some sort of a student video reporter for Parks Canada, and that extremely piqued my interest, so I will probably be applying
for
that.
Yeah, you should definitely look into that, especially since you can actually drive.
There was that, yes. I thought to myself, well, I can say that I have a car, and that will probably put me right up there in the runnings. But, yes, that just went around, so I am hoping to apply for that, although that may not be what I am doing.
Mm-hmm.
I did, at one point, want to try and get in touch with Lancey Meadows, of course, with my specialty, but I have determined that nobody works there, having sent them a million emails and tried to phone both the Gros Morne National Park, the actual historic site, Parks Canada summer and winter numbers, and I
there
just...
There isn't much going on this time of year?
Not really.
It kind of flips over in May.
They may, in fact, call me back in May. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, and if I'm in an unpaid internship, well, because it's an internship, I won't switch,
yeah.
Because I'll be settled in, I'll be writing reports, and the Simcoe Canyon Museum, the lovely thing about that is that it is literally 2 seconds from my home, and it is a fabulous institution. It is really...
They do a good job with what they have.
Oh, absolutely. They have, in much like the Fanshawe Pioneer Village here, they have the buildings out the back that are... They sort of represent an idealized Simcoe County town without representing any particular historical Simcoe County town, but they do a really good job of interpreting that, mm-hmm. Even to the children when I was there. So, and they have just a really good collection, so I would be really interested in working with them. Again, though, if I could do the student video reporter thing, that would be also very interesting.
I guess the fact that Simcoe's around the corner from your parents' place is also an advantage if it's unpaid.
Exactly. That would be pretty much one of the only ways that unpaid will work for me.
Absolutely. That's pretty much all I had to ask. I mean, is there anything, like, you'd like to bring up maybe about the class, or...
I think that it's a really good program, and I also am really enjoying that the people who come to it are all sort of the same... kinds of people. You find yourself sort of mimicked in a lot of the other people who end up in the program, and just think it's incredibly useful for any history student, academic or otherwise, as I'm hoping to be academic, but I may end up as otherwise, as many who follow the history field actually find
end
themselves.
Up, yeah. I absolutely concur. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming to talk to me, and hopefully we'll
And hopefully this works out for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we'll have this online in the week or so. All right.